Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to President, Patriot or Puppet for Billionaires. We like to research that and find out ways that we can teach or educate, or even educate ourselves. You know, many people believe that they don't have what it takes to make a difference in this world. They believe only people like Mahatma Gandhi and Mother Teresa and Thomas Edison, Albert Einstein and Bill Gates and the likes are capable of making a difference, not our little selves. You know, the truth is every one of us is put in this world to contribute and make a difference to the world in our own unique way. It need not be anything out of this world or in ordinary. It just needs to be something you do with the intention of doing good. And that is how I see our international radio program right here today, titled President, Patriot, or Puppet for Billionaires. If I or my contributing partners who speak on this show can make the difference in a few to help them see our country is devaluing and breaking apart, then I am doing a good job on this earth. We have got to forge a conservative pipeline so that we can come together and make a difference, and especially come voting day. We've got 2014 coming ahead of us, not just the 2016. I heard the news this morning on a young teenage boy who was asked to give his opinion on what Obama was trying to push on society with his made-up gun laws. And the boy said, well, he is our boss, and we will just have to do what he says. Now, I've said many times that our educational system is broken. Not only are we 27th in education insofar as the industrialized world, we have stopped teaching anything about our founding documents to our children. It is no wonder that we are producing robots. If we don't take this opportunity to come together and salvage what has been what I call leveled by the Republicans in name only, called rhinos, and the far-left Democrats, we will be facing a mountain of debt, but a collapse of the United States. Now, is Jerome Corsi right? Is Obama actively trying to bankrupt America? Well, I think so. And one short year ago, asking this question would have guaranteed my inclusion among the ranks of the right-wing nuts or conspiracy theorists. Today, it is a serious question being asked by people like Neil Boots or Rush Limbaugh and many others, leading conservatives. And here's why. In the summer of 2008, as John McCain and Barack Obama were campaigning for president, a series of economic events started by Senator Schumer resulted in shifting the focus of the presidential campaign off the Iraq War and on to the economy. These events ultimately resulted in Barack Obama's election as president. June 26, 2008, Democrat Chuck Schumer leaked a memo questioning the solvency of IndyMac Bank. This memo precipitated a run on the IndyMac, which led to its failure. Now, federal regulators pointedly cited U.S. Senator Charles Schumer, Democrat of New York, in explaining the bank's failure. The immediate cause of the closing was a deposit run that began and continued after the public release of the June 26 letter of the OTS and the FDIC from Senator Charles Schumer. Now, this event, coupled with Lehman Brothers' collapse in September, marked the beginning of the current economic meltdown and provided the ammunition for massive government intervention in the private market. And July 12, 2008, the federal government takes control of the $32 billion IndyMac Bank. Now, September 6, 2008, Fannie Mae begins downward spiral, which will end with a crash in that November. This crash was avoidable as the problems with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were identified in June of 2006, and the 15 Republicans on the Senate Banking Committee introduced legislation to address the problem, and Democrats led by Barney Frank killed that reform effort. Now, in September 15, 2008, Obama and McCain are virtually tied in their race for the presidency. Out of nowhere, in the space of less than 2 hours, the Federal Reserve noticed a tremendous drawdown of money market accounts in the U.S. to the tune of $550 billion. And Representative Paul Kengorski of Pennsylvania said that if authorities had not closed the banks, $5.5 trillion would have been withdrawn from U.S. banks, which would have caused the collapse of the U.S. within 24 hours. This seminal event marked the ascendancy of Obama's candidacy and eventually resulted in his election to president. It's no secret that Obama is a member of the far left, and he and his staff has his administration with fellow ideologies and ideologues, the leftists like former Green Czar Van Jones, if you can remember past his terrorist attacks, etc., who states he is an advocate for socialist utopia, who believes that capitalism is oppression and exploitation. People like Ron Blum, who was appointed to reinvigorate the manufacturing base, who states, "We know the free market is nonsense. And economists can tell you that raising taxes increases debt. Printing money and unbridled spending is not the way to handle the recession." So either Obama is ignorant of this, or he willfully chooses to ignore the lessons of history, or he is adopting a strategy outlined by Cloward Pivens and the overwhelm the system until it fails type of approach, and then replace it with your own. Now, based on Obama's actions to date, reasonable people must allow for the possibility that the change Obama promised may include destroying the free market economic system in order to replace it with an economy regulated by government entities. Spending America into bankruptcy might just be our president's way of leveling the global playing field by bringing America to its knees. Based on Obama's actions and the actions of his appointees, it's time to seriously consider if destroying our economy is Obama's goal. Now, hypocrisy is all around us with Obama administration, but I would like to draw the attention to only one, that is the elected government officials have voted to give themselves a 1% pay raise. Now, Leon Panetta has announced that he is going to press for the pay cut of enlisted military. Now, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta reportedly believes the military should receive a pay cut in order to respond to the budget cuts facing the Pentagon, a position that might strengthen the Republican push to reverse President Obama's executive order raising salaries of people like Vice President Joe Biden and other federal officials. Kick in here, Mike.
Well, Panetta's on Fox this morning giving his version of testimony on Benghazi. Mm-hmm. And he, the last time I saw it, he was still reading his written speech, most likely written by the White House, similar to Clinton and her phony fall that she couldn't appear for a month. These people are not going to ever find anything useful out that we can use about Benghazi. Even Dianne Feinstein, the head of the committee, She comes out of that committee after the hearing saying her mission is gun control. Gun control. We're talking about Benghazi. We're talking about four Americans being killed that Obama referred to as not optimal.
Yeah.
And
that's something.
And we got Panetta out there printing phony money out every month, decreasing the value of our economy. Obama and his minions are definitely trying to bankrupt America. They're trying to destroy it even through Obamacare. We're finding out now that a lot of Obamacare will be paid by healthy young people. And in humorous as it is, these are the people that actually voted for Obama. They don't know why, but they voted for him.
Yeah. That's unfortunate, and it's the absolute truth. And how we get the message out is going to be leveled at people like you and I and folks just like us. We're going to have to come up with the solution. You know, we had our ass kicked by the left, so we can't say, well, they were the ignorant, okay? We must be the ignorant for not being able to learn from mistakes. I mean, you keep doing the same things over and over and expecting a different outcome. What's that? I think that's called, you know, crazy.
Yeah, definition of insanity.
Yeah. So we ought to be able to learn and learn how to speak with these folks. Look at the thing that I mentioned in the very beginning of that, the young boy who was simply thought he was giving a correct answer. Well, Obama is our boss. We just follow our boss, right? Instead of learning what the Constitution is and how that person is supposed to be working for you, which is we, the people, how we get that back so that we can get this government thing off of our backs, the government trying to run every facet. We've got more government agencies and government regulation than there is in the entire planet. Now, I think most of it's in California, but that's a pun. I'm sure it's everywhere. But people that are actually advertising and saying, look, bring your business here, like Texas and a few other states who are, you know, understanding that you don't tax business out of being a business, or they either move out of state or out of country. Those are the kinds of things that seem so obvious. But how do, you know, we were talking earlier, how do we have people like Chris Rock coming on and saying, what a wonderful daddy we have for a president, and we have to mind him, right? How can we get to that mindset? Now, I have to admit that there's more than just intelligence there. There is skin color. Now, the reason I say this, and I think this is proof enough, is think about the person. There is one individual in this world who was respected by more people in this world than any other human being alive. His name is Colin Powell. He wore the cloak of conservatism for many years, hid under it like he was a conservative. When he came out in support of President Obama, who had absolutely no history, absolutely no business sense, absolutely no contribution anywhere, and he came out, this gentleman who had was admired so by the world, came out for President Obama. That is an absolute proof, in my opinion, that it was color that was being voted for. So now we've got that to contend with, the Chris Rocks, obviously, and Colin Powell's, plus 98% of the population that was black voted for him. Now, for what? Where did they get the information that said, this is why we should vote for this person? You know, can you tell me that, Mike? Is there anything out there? I mean, I think there's so many. We have a Supreme Court justice who actually got her job and recommended for that job because she did such a wonderful job covering up all of the records of Obama.
And then got to make a decision on Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah, and then got to You're exactly right. Is there a 760 area code on the line?
Yes, there is.
Who is this?
This is Jim Tapscott, David.
Jim, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
How you doing, Jim?
Jim, were you paying any attention to our earlier comments? Were you just now coming on, or could
No, I just came online. I'm off today. I'm going to someone's funeral, and I happen to be available. And I saw your blog, and I've been wanting to call you for months.
Good.
I finally did. Okay.
Well, just to kind
I was
of...
I read your email and the things that...
Yeah.
How to make a difference to the world. So I have read that. So
yeah. There's a calamity going on, and one of the little points that we're bringing up right now is this... I mentioned what the most respected human being in this entire planet was, who, of the entire world, was respected more than any other human being. And he was actually proof that the 17% of the population that voted for Barack Obama because he was black, this is proof of that. Colin Powell, the most respected human being in the world, came out from under his cloak of conservatism for all of these years and voted backed a person without any history at all. As a matter of fact, so well covered that we just got to talking about a Supreme Court justice was nominated because of the good job she did of covering his past. Now, that could be nothing other than a person voting because of skin color. Now, that's almost highway robbery in my mind's eye, because with someone with zero record and a man that was admired above and beyond all other human beings on this planet, to come out from under his cloak like that was an absolute, what I call, proof that what we were talking about is true. And then, of course, this Chris Rock thing came on that Mike was talking about earlier. That's Daddy. We got to do what Daddy says, you know. He's a comedian, but still, it points in that direction.
Nobody should
do that. Here's my take on Colin Powell. Several years ago, when the Republicans were courting him about running, there was something about him that bothered me. And I was, you know, a number of people, in particular some Republicans, were surprised when I said, I can't support him. And this happened many, many years ago, back as far, I can't even remember. It's been several revolutions of the election. But there was something about Colin Powell that bothered me. Now, I didn't know as much about him as I know now. But what I think has happened is that he has finally come out of the closet to show who he truly is.
Yeah.
So it's not a surprise to me to see what he just said.
I've got to take a full, almost a chapter out of my book and rewrite it. I mean, I had such admiration for this person. I said in my book that, you know, it's such a shame that our first black president could not have been a person with such integrity and such honor and to be so respected as to have, you know, Colin Powell. To have a person with zero record who votes present in the Senate and those types of things. But you're right. There's here we are. We talked a little earlier about a young gentleman who in his teens, and he was asked this morning, I was listening to the news, what do you think about President Obama and the thing about the gun controlled? And he says, well, President Obama is our boss, so we have to do what the boss says.
Oh, yeah. Chris Rock.
So, yeah. Well, no. This is a young kid on television this morning, not Chris Rock. Interview someplace this morning on Fox News. And what I'm getting at here is I've said this 1,000 times, our educational system sucks in this country. We're, 27th in the industrialized world, and we don't even bother teaching our kids the founding documents anymore. They have no idea that we, the people, are the boss. We're number one, and everything else that we hire is underneath us. You know, we've got to come together as a team as conservatives. Somehow we've got to use our brain power. And like I was telling Mike a little earlier, you know, we're easy to call the left the dummies, okay? Well, if the dummies are so dumb, they beat our ass by putting together a system that was able to talk to those folks who what we call brain dead folks, and be able to get them to go from one voting booth to the other and vote in different names. And of course, I can't prove any of that, but though, you know, it's out there. I mean, dead people vote, and how they've got these machines to where you can put what you want on this piece of paper, throw it in this machine, and you don't know what happened to it. And what? How did we get to that point? Well, those same progressives took that hanging Chad era and made a mockery of the dumbest-looking guy in the world sitting there viewing this hanging Chad, if you recall, way back there, and made us believe that we need to go to this voting machine. And the voting machine, so many years back, I've forgotten, but there was a whole program done on the machine saying, yes, it's a fact. I can program this machine where it is going to give you an outcome that you want. You know, so we're in.
I remember all of that.
Yeah, we're involved in. It's what I call self-defense, and I mean self-defense for this country. We got to come together and come to a grips with a plan. What we have to do, and it's got to start local, guys. We can't just sit down and say, "Well, it's bad," and all that kind of stuff. We have an obligation. We got to come together somehow, use every brain cell, and come up and teach ourselves, learn from each other, and find out what to do to correct this. We simply cannot wait. We can't. It's already too late for 2016. We've got to work so hard to reverse all of the crap from 2016, and then what are we going to do from there? Look at 2014 coming up. You know, we have to do what's necessary. And what is going to be necessary? I don't know. We're going to have to come together and figure that out. There are a lot of intelligent people. I mean, the political conservative objective has got some of the most highly intelligent folks in the world and come together with some of the greatest things to say. And I'm just not going to give up. I'm going to find the right things and come out with them. This radio program is one. And by the way, we have a 415 area code. Who's on the line?
Yeah, it's Bill Fox.
Bill Fox?
Yes. Calling from Fairfax, California.
Okay, Bill. If you've been listening, if you've got something that you would like to add, by all means, give us a shout here. But as I was talking about, we got this group and even this radio program, and we're trying to gather brain cells, conservative brain cells. And that does not mean the rhinos of the right and the left wing. I'm not even going to call either one of them nut jobs because, you know, that will go right back to, what's his name, George Carlin. You remember his little favorite thing about what a nut job was? A nut
right.
job is a guy or a girl that's driving on the freeway, and whoever is driving faster than them or slower than them on that freeway is the nut job, right? So here we've got to come up with solutions to real problems that we have right now and not just cover them over with bullet points. But by the way, we've got to speak to those folks who only understand 3 to 5 words in bullet points. So teaching ourselves to talk and to bring the facts to someone and to shed light on those things that are said that are not factual. I mean, I'll just come up with one teeny little thing. Look how long that it was acceptable for somebody to come up and say, oh, we have to sign the bill before we read what's in it. Anyone want to give me the name of the lady?
That's Pelosi.
Yeah.
Amazing.
You know, yeah.
The walking alcoholic.
Yes,
yeah.
And here she can say that. And as dumb as that is, I mean, I think that's got to be right down there on the very bottom with the whole bunch of the other pig malarkey. But look how long that set with the American people. I mean, it's just...
David, yeah, I mean, I just want to throw something in. We've talked via email for, I guess, a while. I guess I forwarded a book that I put together back a few years ago about my take on Obama, to do some historical analysis, specifically on Saul Alinsky and just how radical he was.
Uh-huh.
Part of the problem I see, we've had a few people talk about the, quote, party of stupid. It's not that it's stupid. In fact, it's the party of reason in a world where reason doesn't work anymore. And the reason, and that's because the left has done a job for decades. And so we're talking about something that's taken literally decades. That's why I kind of mark Saul Alinsky back in 1970s. You know, he wrote his little treatise, Rules for Radicals, about that time frame, and it's evolved. It's taken this long for it to metastasize. Sort of, if you look at the analogy of Karl Marx, it's, the first real large example of a communist state didn't occur, obviously, until well over 50, 60, 70 years after Das Kapital and the Communist Manifesto, and that, of course, is the Communist Revolution. So these types of things and really take decades to take hold, and that's really what we're dealing with. We're dealing with really Barack Obama, who's schooled in the Chicago politics, just schooled in the Chicago radical thug policies of the father of the community organizer, Saul Alinsky.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're dealing with literally the mob. We're dealing with a mob that controls the university system, the education, that's essentially an education monopoly, and they control the media. So
yeah, I forgot.
So,
your first name was what? No,
Bill.
Mike? Bill?
Bill.
Bill. Okay. Bill, those are all really good reasons why we should go ahead and sit on the sofa and say, well, we got to do this in 100 years. But what I'm talking about is, yes, I want to realize that, and we've talked about this many times, as it being a 100-year-old process, the progressive movement who tried to dumb down and has successfully dumbed down our schools. The No
right.
Child Left Behind came from the right, by the way. And
right.
So all we're talking about is we need to come together with brain cells and say, listen,
right, there are answers, but if you don't target, the
oh,
big
absolutely.
Picture.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you're whittling away at the edges, and that's what a lot of conservatives, and hence why you've got the Karl Roves of the world,
mm-hmm.
who essentially become hardly different than the than the enemy that we're trying to fight, which is the far left
mm-hmm.
ideologues. So there are some. Unfortunately, I do think there are some fundamental things that have to occur in D.C. D.C. has to be radically changed. There has to be some things that we can do, and I think we have to focus on those things. I know there. I realize that. You know, when I start from a historical perspective, it kind of loses some people. On the other hand, there are practical things that we can do today. So what you're doing, whether it be the radio show or, you know, the little bit of information that they let seep out through talk radio or through Fox News that gets out to, you know, the people, that's a start. But I do think that the one of the key targets has to be the education establishment and also transforming
correct.
The media. So those are the two areas that I say are things we have to deal with.
Yeah.
The question is how and the methods.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, and you can go backwards And by the way, you've not been part of the programs in past, but we do go back and relate to the Saul Alinskys and the Clyde Pivens and those folks who actually brought to the forefront communism, socialism, Marxism, and bringing it into the system. I mean, look at the guy who actually was the socialist candidate for many, many years, trying to run for president. And finally, one day, he says, well, I don't need to run any longer for the socialist communist party. The Democrats have taken over
right.
my agenda. And right off the top of my head, his name slips from me, but those are the kinds of things, yes, we very familiar with, and we need to keep them, you know, close at heart as to how we're going to come up with solution 1, 2, and 3. And just say we need to fix educational system is really not one of the things. That's the long term, of course. We need to figure out how to talk to what we have right now so we can get back in control and start fixing those problems, which is our educational system.
Well, I think there's some grounds. I think there's some things on the ground that we can do. I mean, again, back to Alinsky. What Alinsky is really a practical tactician. That's what separated him from all. You know, I went to school, a very liberal college in University of Texas. So it was a you know, Austin was kind of the Berkeley of the South, especially, you know, during the Vietnam War period.
By the way, I was raised
went to
there.
School.
By the way, I was raised there.
Mm-hmm. What, in Texas or Austin?
In Austin, Texas.
Oh, okay. Well, so we have something in common here. In any event, so you know quite well how liberal it was, especially back then, and it's even more so today, I suppose. But the issue is that you know, Alinsky was a tactician, meaning that most of the hippies and the far left guys were too busy, you know, worrying about getting laid or just dealing with you know, periphery issues, and they weren't really trying to get things done. Alinsky changed all that. He developed the whole process of these tactics for radicals gaining power. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to say, you know, his greatest success is Barack Obama, that you can get a radical who essentially basically follows the rules, who's an admitted, who admits, you know, that he uses this benign term community organizer. So anyway, I'm going around roundabout way to say it's time for the conservatives to do some damage control and do some community organizing on the local level themselves. So I think you can go after education on a local level. You can get on school boards. You have to participate. The problem with conservatives is they're too busy making a living and too busy being the productive members of society, while the non-productive members of society, in which I consider most of the people that are in universities that aren't in the sciences, and I have an undergraduate in political, you know, political science.
By the way, I'd like your opinion on something.
Sure.
I have constantly bring this up, and every once in a while I get people who run from me when I say it. But when a person is going to accept something from the government, I'm going to say food stamps, housing subsidies, it makes no difference. Shouldn't they, because of conflict of interest, have to sign and agree that they will not be capable of voting, that they give up, they volunteer and give up their voting right for as long as they're taking something from the government because they're able to vote the guy in who promises the most?
Absolutely. Well, there's a certain truth there, but see, it's like the comment, the 47% comment that Romney made.
Mm-hmm.
You got to break it down, because within that 47%, there are Obviously, people who are on, who are truly on disability, not the people who are faking it. There are people who are in the military who are getting some type of subsidies. There are people who are truly on unemployment because, you know, Obama's destroyed the economy. So
we have to label first Social Security, unemployment, Medicare. That is not what I'm talking about entitlements. I'm talking about strictly food stamps and housing subsidies. Now, if you're there, not willfully, blah blah blah, you still, it's kind of like an illegal alien. You can't try to figure out which one of them you're going to give amnesty to. You have to say, look, here's how it is. As long as you're there, this is incentive for you to get out. You give up your voting rights because that is a conflict of interest.
Right. I'll tell you what, I don't disagree with it in principle. Like I said, where I have an issue with it is that you can't just throw a blanket over it.
No.
So part of my problem, again, with the whole what the left did so brilliantly, their propaganda, is they'll take some out-of-context speech where he throws out the term 47, and it becomes, within that 47%, there are a lot of people who are, quote, good, doing their best they can to get blanketed as that kind of person. So that's my first point. Second point is that I do think that there are other ways, and in fact, I've worked with someone, you're probably aware that legal immigrants have to pass a thing known as a citizenship test in order to become a citizen and vote. I'm of the opinion, and of course this will never pass because of all the civil rights issues, but I think there ought to be a very rudimentary, very basic test. You know, who's the first president of the United States? Who was the president during the Civil War? Maybe 20 questions of really basic what American history, and if you can't answer those 20 questions, you don't get your voter thing. Now, that would be, the left would go crazy on that. They'd never allow that in a million years. But that's, you know, not only do we not have that, you know, I'd say, yes, if you're going to vote in America, you have to vote in English. So there's not Tagalog in 37 different languages on the ballot. There's English.
Yeah.
And if you can't read English, and if you can't pass the very basic citizenship test,
right,
you know, to be here, and that goes for existing
citizens. Wait just a second. I think maybe you're putting something out there on the table that I am so far in disagreement of, and that is illegal is illegal. I don't care what you know. Illegal is that if you come here, we have a system. If you're trying to go through the system and we want to enhance the system, that's fine, but we go through the system.
No. I don't think you heard me. No, I was talking about illegal.
In agreement with anybody who wants this pass to give someone.
Oh no, we're on the same page. I think you didn't hear me right. No. When I'm talking about citizenship test, I'm talking about a citizenship test. Let me back up. Maybe you can hear me now. What I was talking about a citizenship test is if you are a legal immigrant, you go through all the paperwork. The million or so who are legally allowed to come to America, and in order for them to actually get their citizenship after they go through all the hoops and fill out all the documents and wait in line, those legal citizens, in order to actually become a citizen, take a test. So I'm saying that test should be given not just to, quote, legal, not illegal, because we're probably in total agreement on illegal. I believe illegal is breaking law, period, end of story. You know,
absolutely. So if you steal a car and you evade the law for 5, 6, 8, 10 years, they're not going to say, well, you've lived this wonderful life, so therefore we're going to look over that, forgive that, we're going to give you amnesty from that stealing.
We're on the same page. David, we're on the same page, so don't, you know, I'm in agreement. I don't think I communicated to you correctly. I'm talking about the path that we give legal immigrants, legal, not illegal, and that we make them, we provide a similar type of test to virtually the entire citizenship. So what I think that would do is it would take there's so many ignorant people who don't even know, like, you know, the reason Nancy Pelosi, because I heard you earlier talk about you got to know what's in it before you can, you got to pass it before you know what's in it. The reason there are so many stupid people that allow elect Nancy Pelosi is just because we've allowed the electorate to be dumbed down to this extent. And again, back to my issue about the education, because it's all tied in.
Sure.
The education establishment, et cetera.
Well, I agree.
Anyway, it's just one little thing that'll never happen, but it would be, you know, it would be the kind of thing that I think if it could ever pass because of, you know, the history of the civil rights and poll tax, and it would be, you know, the left would never allow it to happen, but it should. I mean, logically, it should be that way.
You know, we keep saying it'll never happen, and all I'm saying is I believe if you can have a thought process and it sounds logical and it begins to develop into something logical, that I believe that anything is possible. The idea is, how are we to take that same system? Okay, if we've got to use the Saul Alinsky style system, how can we reverse that and be able to not get our butts kicked again? And I say it's all going to have to start local. Politics has got to be local.
Right.
We've got to return to local. We've got to get enough people, like you were talking about earlier.
Right.
The conservatives are out busy making a living and doing the productive things in this country. That's what keeps this country running. But we've got to add another task to ourselves, and we've got to go out and get into groups and say, listen, this makes sense to me. Does it make sense to you? And
right.
Because there are going to be some brain cells out there that are not taxed at this point who are going to come up with marvelous solutions. I truly believe that.
Well, I have one right now. I mean, when again, back to the education establishment, we need to form, I mean, there are obviously religious universities and a few conservative, universities, but it's time that really the conservative movement sending their offspring to these indoctrination camps. So, I mean, I think that, you know, again, the more homeschooling we can do, the more alternative education, the more we can grow the education establishment away. And basically, I don't think you're going to beat them. You're not going to go into their stronghold. And, you know, they have too big a stronghold on, you know, who gets tenure and who gets to teach Karl Marx and why they understand Karl Marx, but they don't know who Madison, Hamilton, or Jay is, you know, when they get out of their
career. And what Van Jones did before he got his tenure. Yeah, I'm looking at the word tenure, and I want to know, I'm going to find the right solution before I die, hopefully, to rid ourselves of that. Because that's nothing other than making certain that we provide for dumb teachers and for radical people to go in and take control of our young minds. Okay?
Now, it's interesting that you say that because there's, you know, tenure, what has happened, and the political term is term limits. So the same thing applies. So not that we don't, you know, again, what happens is we want our good guys in so we don't pass term limits. But the system needs to be flushed, just like in the university system. I don't think there should be any tenure. I agree. It should be totally based on quality.
Merit.
Of work.
What you do.
Merit.
What you
exactly.
Do.
So the university should be a merit. I mean, the reason capitalism works is that when it does work, despite the politics, and there's politics and everything, that typically, you know, people with talent that actually produce something, it helps. Bottom line, those are the people that get rewarded, and the companies that get rewarded, and it's the exact opposite occurs in our government. We get the Van Jones. How do we not know what Barack Obama's transcripts are? Tell me how, into his fifth year. No one in this country, you know, they are preoccupied on his false birth certificate or whatever the hell that was. It's like, okay, so maybe he was born, maybe he wasn't. But the issue is, what's the real issue? Why don't we know what his transcripts are in college? How did he get into college?
There was very well hidden by the Supreme Court justice that got her job because she hid
them. Sotomayor
well.
or Kagan?
Kagan.
Elena
Kagan was his attorney. And
yeah.
She is the one that sealed his records and therefore was his nominee to replace the outgoing justice that she
right.
took place of.
You know, I know there's a crazy parallel. The origin of Obama. You realize in the 2004 election for the Senate, Obama ran against a guy by the name of Ryan. I think you remember this in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
For Senate. Well, it turns out that his wife was actually quite a beauty queen who was a TV star. Interesting enough, in a Star Trek, she was part of a group called the Borg. I don't know if you remember who the Borg.
Yeah, Jerry Ryan.
Right, Jerry Ryan. So Jerry Ryan is very much in the mix of why Barack Obama became senator, how he became senator, and why he's now the president. I just find it fascinating because I look at most of what's going on in this country as a bunch of people who have become assimilated, you know, by the Borg. And I look at Jerry Ryan, who, again, talk about the word sealed. Her divorce records were sealed, but Obama and his campaign managed to get those divorce records unsealed so that they could trash, I believe his name was George Ryan, so that he no longer was a viable candidate, and Obama kind of waltzed into the Senate. And this is how they play the politics. It's been
Let me ask you this question. You
yeah.
realize that Obama never held a job. He was a community
yep.
organizer.
Yep.
He went to the most expensive schools in the country because
yep.
of George Soros and traveled
yep.
the country back to see his father over in Africa and other places. And and wrote all of these things and traveled around like he was a zillionaire. And part of that ceiling, of course, was the George Soros, but that has been slowly broken open, and some of those truths are out there.
Right.
But you see, only people like you and I give a damn about that, and this is what's got me concerned. Maybe...
Right.
Just maybe, even if we played this out on television like the O.J. Simpson trial with the tort laws, you know, we don't have to worry about whether they throw him out because we know his political cronies are not going to impeach him. But we could actually play this out by suing him with the tort laws and getting these records and playing them out on television. Of course, the George Soros-owned stations over there on that left-wing media wouldn't be playing them, but, of course, some would be played on the Fox News, which is also, believe it or not, got a lot of influence from the left, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure.
You only bring up one or two that were involved there. That I think the person who worked for George Bush, what the hell is his name?
Rove,
yeah. Who actually is probably as much of an instigator. I see him as an instigator and not much of a help, but more of a hindrance. So there are people like that, but to get something going on an international radio program that can't be censored and that type of thing, to just simply get out the facts and get things out there for people to listen to, they will listen more than they will read. I've found that people's attention span is very, very short, and they will listen. Look at how much the listening of a book there is. I forget what that's called, but you listen to a book.
The audio book.
The audio book thing. Right. It's much, much bigger than one.
That's kind of sad. Yeah.
To sit down.
I do it the old-fashioned way, unfortunately, so I don't have any audio books.
Right. I don't even know how to get the audio book, but it is out there. Now, that's what I'm saying. So we take all this into consideration. We don't set that on the table and say, this is why we can't do something. We say, here's what we have to overcome. So I'm just stacking these on the table, not to say it's insurmountable, we can't do anything about it, we're going to have to lose our country, you know, and go on about our way. No, I'm saying we're stacking these up here in a row. We want them all stacked in a row so we can answer each one of them. And I think we have more brain power than they do. So let's use it. That's what
right.
I think.
Yeah, well, I agree. Unfortunately, they, you know, I do believe that these two major areas, the media and the university system and the entire education monopoly, you know, I know it's those are big targets. And again, reforming, you know, actually some the government, you know, with you know, fairly sweeping things like term limits, you know, and doing, you know, balanced budget amendment, a serious tax overhaul. Those kinds of things are very difficult to do, but I think they have to be on the radar. But I'm with you on the micro part of it as well, that we need to start with, you know, doing it on a local level, and that's something that conservatives, I like to use the term classical liberal, by the way, which is a perfect example of how the left, I don't even use the word liberal anymore, the left has stolen the language. Because if you look historically what a classical liberal was, it's the evolution of the founders of our country, the people who were Protestant Christians who believed in free enterprise, the natural law philosophy.
Well, let me just give you a quick insight on
people,
me. A quick insight of me. I am JFK made over again. Okay, he was what I call the end of, if you will, the conservative Democrat. There is no such thing now. The person, they robbed words from him. Like, he was a very born into wealth and raised in wealth, etc. And he saw a situation where he wanted to give a leg up, an opportunity for someone to achieve.
Right.
And they stole that word and made it entitlement. And then the bottom dropped out to where the LBJs of the world saw how they could control that population by taking incentive away from them, giving them something, and removing the will. And it goes on and on. JFK was assassinated because of Executive Order 1111-0, which is taking the printing press away from the Federal Reserve, basically, okay, which is one of the things that needs to be done. By the way, EO 1111-0 is still there. It could simply be used if they wanted to. It's never been.
Yeah. Well, let me just clarify, because I think you're going on a slight tangent of what I was getting to. I was just saying, when I was talking about the language, and I agree with everything you said there, but the point about the language is that what we call a conservative today is historically the classical liberal that believed in private property and a smaller divided government. You know, those were the founders of this country. They weren't professional politicians. You know, they had all sorts of different trades, and they looked at politics as, you know, a temporary job. We now have a turnover in our Congress, both houses, that is less than the Politburo at the height of the Soviet Union, former Soviet Union. So, I mean, we have less turnover, even with death. And so, I mean, so these guys never go away, and they become parasites. And it's a system that has to be. They have to do something to the system. System has to be broken up. Term limits is one answer.
Sure.
Probably.
Yeah. I agree with the term limits. Michael, you've been too quiet for too long, haven't you?
No, I'm listening. This is very fascinating. You guys had a great conversation going.
You get me wound up.
No, that's great. That's great. You know, I totally agree with the two concepts, the media and where these younger people are getting their information. They get it from John Stewart. They get it from Mayer. I mean, they don't really get it from news sources that can give them both sides, let them know what's actually going on. You know, the teachers, uh, they to me, they seem like a lot of the 60s hippies that have been dying to get into the educational system. And that's what we're fighting against right now, just like David said a while ago. They don't teach the Constitution. They don't teach the things these people need to know to be able to protect what we've got. And we maybe starting at the local level is the only answer, but we've got to be able to get to the point where we can get to the students, the kids that are being taught that just because Obama happens to say it doesn't mean it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Just because he passes decisions
or
recess appointments when Congress is in recess, that doesn't mean it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got more people that actually think about what's going on and realize that you're spending your child and your grandchild's money. Is that what you really want to have happen?
Yeah.
We got to attack these people at their own level, and they're much more organized. They got no principles, but they're much more organized than we are.
Do you see what I'm talking about? When we get together with these brains, at some point in time, it's going to click, and we're going to come up with exactly step one, step two, step three, you know, the logical approach to these things. We're going to keep stacking them up here on the shelf, saying, yes, this is what we have to deal with. We're going to have to find a problem solver here, and keep them up there and keep them in very uniquely ordered and filed so that we pay attention to each one and never let one of them go, because we're going to find this same problem, and it's going to be communicating with who we have already. Now, we can say communicating with idiots. I don't, you know, it's not going to help us. We have a certain level of education. We've got to figure out how to get into that mind so that later on we can start the improvement of education. We can do the term limits. We can remove the government controls and the lobbyists and et cetera, because we have to get back to a people's government. How do you do that? That's going to be people who serve a certain amount of time, and then they get out of there and somebody else comes in. That returns it back to the people. It's not these career politicians who have, I forget the guy's name over in Arizona, who has got four or five sons or something, and they're all in the pharmaceutical industry, and he is the worst enemy to my actual livelihood, and he plays like he's on my team because he is the FDA made over. Now, all I'm saying is the federal drug, the Food and Drug Administration system should be drug only and then food somebody else. That's a conflict of interest. If you say, I'm just giving you one example, if you say in my industry you treat or cure somebody, they will come confiscate your assets and throw you in jail. Not the idea that you did. It doesn't matter. It's the idea that you're not a man-made drug, and so you don't have the right to use the words that have been rented by the drug companies, the lobbyists up there. That's why our healthcare industry is in such shambles today. A 3-cent pill is sold for $600 sometimes. You know, it's incredible. And those are the kinds of things that we can come a full circle and deal with by deregulation, okay? And we're not creating jobs when we create regulatory agencies and hire people to work and pay them with taxpayer money. Coming down to the wire, Bill, you got something to throw in here? Are you there?
Yeah, just one last thing. You talk about regulation, deregulation. I'm a Reagan conservative, classical liberal. I guess that's the way I term myself. And deregulation, you know, is one of them. You know, less spending. There are growing the energy industry. And a sane monetary policy. All those things, you know, talking about printing money. Basically, four policies. If we had four sane policies right now, this economy would do what it did during the Reagan, even despite, you know, all the obstacles that the Democrats put up in front of Reagan.
I gotta jump in here. We're going to have to end the show. Listen, I want to know if I can get your phone call back again next Thursday and continue this. This is a great session, and we need to keep the brain cells moving. So until next Thursday, I hope to talk with you email. I will see you, and thanks again, both of you.
Dear President Obama, we, the people, have stated resolutely we reject your vision for our country. You claim you have not heard us. We, the people, have assembled across America resisting your efforts to subvert our Constitution and undermine our liberty. You claim you have not seen us. Since you have not acknowledged our message, let us here present it once more. For if, as President Wilson said, a leader's ear must ring with the voices of the people, the time has come. Our greatest treasure is freedom, the